Hey folks, Dan Ferriero here, your nationwide mortgage loan officer with today's news on what's going on with interest rates. So today, well, let's just go back yesterday. Yesterday I said, well, if we got a little bit hotter than expected inflation number, the markets are going to get crushed and the interest rates are going to spike. Well, what happened today? Well, let's get through the headlines right through here. The S&P falls dramatically because of a hot PC inflation number, and that's also going to dent the number of cuts maybe the Federal Reserve comes out with. So the equity markets, well, they sold off dramatically. The VIX spiked, but the bond market rallied a little bit. So why? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's video. So without further ado, let's get to it. My name is Dan Ferriero. I actually do this report two times a day, where our slogan is one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan over 30 different lenders. How do we do that? Stay tuned to the end. I'm going to give you out how we do that with purchases, first-time homebuyers, and even refinances. So let's get into it. Mortgage rates, they dipped a little bit today, not as much as the charts would represent. But what happened behind the scenes? Well, here's what's really happening. I showed a video from this morning. BlackRock CEO, he came in and said, here's what's happening. You have so much anxiety, so much uncertainty in the markets. People are just starting to dump stocks. And they can't just stuff it into cash. So what are they doing? They're putting it into bonds, creating bond portfolios with returns on their investments of 5, 6, 7%. Well, a long-term investment strategy, even on Wall Street, it's a good return to have 7%. So if you can move your money into a bond fund and protect it during all these uncertain times, that's what people are doing. So let's get over to it. Here's what happened. People are just selling off on Wall Street, and they're moving their money all the way over here into bonds. And that's what's causing this rally. There's some other things with, you know, some cost efficiency in the government and things like that. But let's get over to here. Here's the concern now. Okay, so we have inflation that's ticking up and not really cooling down from where it is. We have the job market that's okay. But then we have all these uncertainties with tariffs and inflation and everything else. And their concern is, well, what is the Federal Reserve going to do? Because are they going to keep rates, short-term rates high? Are they going to start cutting it? Well, that's, we're going to have go to Becky Quick. She's at CNBC. She has a former Fed official, as usual, and he works at a university, as usual. And let's get his take on it. At least he has some insight because he was there. So let's use his knowledge to see maybe what is the Fed thinking behind the scenes at this time. So let's get over to it.
He is now senior affiliated scholar with George Mason University's Mercatus Center. Jeffrey, let's talk about this. First of all, this number a little hotter if you're looking at the core year over year PCE. But Steve's point is the right one, that this is pretty stubborn inflation. It's not dropping from here. What does that mean for the Federal Reserve?
They're going into this round of potential tariffs in a vulnerable place, with inflation stuck around 2.75% by their favorite measure, maybe even a little higher. Wage gains have not fallen to a level consistent with 2%. And so I think they're in a vulnerable spot. They got through a big bulge in inflation in 21 and 22. Came out of it. It was a blunder, but it set them back because that was preceded by 25 years of good inflation experience that cemented longer term inflation expectations. But having experienced that bulge, I'm not sure they can be as confident that longer run inflation expectations are going to be quite as anchored if inflation should break away on the upside a bit in response to tariffs. So I'm not so confident that tariffs are something they can look through that easily.
Jeffries.
What they're talking about is we had an inflation figure that was like 1.5 to 2% for years and years and years and years and years. It was like forever. So everybody just took it for granted. Well, that's what it is. And then you had COVID hit, and you had government stimulus, and then you had the forbearances on the mortgages. Then you had student loan deferrals, and you had all this other stuff. Was it needed? Yeah, they saved the country, but increased inflation dramatically. So if you go back in time and you look at where your inflation was, or even the money supply, you see a huge spike during the recessionary periods. And I bring that up a lot of times with showing people, you know, here's where disposable income was previously, and here's where it was during the pandemic, and that's basically what caused the inflation front. So now the Federal Reserve's sitting here and saying, okay, inflation's still out there, but and we're trying to cure it. We keep raising rates. We start cutting because we thought we cured inflation last year, and we were worried about the jobs market, But now we're more and more worried about inflation again and maybe possibly stagflation. So that's kind of the predicator going into this. We've really never had high inflation since like the 70s. So it's kind of a new thing for this Federal Reserve and Federal Reserve over the last couple, couple decades, actually.
Steve has been mentioning this morning, talking about a comment from Harkin where he uses this analogy to say this isn't just the typical fog. We don't know what's coming next. It's hard to forecast. This is a fog that's so steep, you pull over and put on your hazards. It's that kind of a fog. In a fog like that, where you have to pull over and put your hazards on, you're not doing anything. You're not cutting rates. You're not necessarily addressing things. You're just waiting to see what happens. Is that what you think the Fed is going to be faced with right now?
Yeah, I think so. As an economic prognosticator from time to time, I'm on the shoulder. My hazard lights are blinking for sure. I thought that was an apt metaphor. We're looking in the rearview mirror at this data, and what's out the windshield is something completely different. So I think the tough part is going to be what happens to consumer and business outlays. In the 2008-2009 recession, we had a garden variety contraction going until late September, early October, when you had Lehman, AIG, and then the two key leaders of the free world's economic powerhouse talking about Great Depression 2.0 and markets not existing on Monday if they didn't get a TARP bill out of Congress. I think that spooked people and people just went to the sidelines. And I think the administration needs to be concerned, and I think the Fed needs to be concerned that overwhelming sense of uncertainty about what the program is, what the configuration of taxes and tariffs is going to be, it's going to lead people to just go to the sidelines, postpone all discretionary expenditures, commitments to hiring, outlays and the like. We've seen a surge of activity sort of getting ahead of tariffs, but it wouldn't surprise me to see people go to the sidelines in massive amounts.
Jeff, nice to talk to you. Kevin Warsh, the former Fed governor, has written a piece in the Wall Street Journal that's been instrumental, at least in my thinking about this, rightly or wrongly. And it was that the Fed is not a passive player in whether or not tariffs create broader inflation. That the Fed, by setting expectations now, has the ability to control that or have some influence on that. Is the Fed being too passive in its talk about whether or not there's going to be indirect or secondary effects of inflation? Should it be talking tougher now to set expectations and be clear to markets and to the public that if there is inflation, it will address it?
Yeah, I think so. And it's a classic sort of stagflationary type of shock that imposes on the Fed a nasty short-run trade-off in that if they want to keep the overall price level stable through this, they want to have offsetting pricing weakness elsewhere in the economy outside of where tariffs are hitting. Well, to do that, it's going to take some pain, and the transition isn't going to be costless.
But that you get the take. Nobody knows what's going on right now. So when people are saying, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, guys, it's a day-by-day situation here because what we're also looking for is on April 2nd. That's when a lot of those reciprocal tariffs start to take effect. So next week, we're going to have a lot more, I guess, concrete data. Maybe the fog will start clearing a little bit. Maybe we'll still need our windshield wipers, but we won't need our fog lamps to look through that fog that's coming in. So I guess that would be my analogy of what's coming up. So next week should be a really big week in regards to tariffs and how it's going to possibly affect all this stuff up through here. So that's what we're seeing right through this point. So let's recap the day. It was a brutal day on Wall Street. It was a pretty darn good day in the bond market right through here. The reason for all this culprit was inflation came in a little bit higher than expected. The PCE, the number one inflationary figure that the Federal Reserve monitors, that caused a sell-off in the market. But I think what people did, and this is kind of backed up by BlackRock CEO, a lot of people are just moving out of the equities. They're not putting their money in the cash. They're putting it into all kind of bonds, and mortgage bonds are actually taking the benefit of some of this. So there's a rally in mortgage mortgage bonds right now. The rally, you know, looks pretty big here, but if you go over to here, the rate shock isn't as big as it, you know, you would think, but that's what's happening in the markets right through now. So my name is Dan Frio, like I said, and our slogan here is one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan to over 30 different lenders. Now, how do we do that? Well, I'm actually a loan officer. I'm not a YouTuber. I'm not an economist. I'm just a loan officer who tries to help you understand the real estate markets when we start looking at, you know, what's going on with the equity markets, the bond markets, and so forth, because I want you guys to understand how to finance a home. If you're looking to buy a house, or maybe you're looking to refinance, I'd love to be your loan officer. So I'm licensed in all 50 states. Like I said, I'd love to work with you. How do you reach out to me? Go to theRateUpdate.com. You can put in your application right up through there. If you're interested in or have some questions you want answered, just schedule a consultation with me right up through there, or scroll down to the bottom of the website and you're going to find my email address as well as our phone number right there. So thanks so much for watching, guys. Have a fantastic day. Have a great weekend. And I can't wait to see you back here on Monday to see how this stuff starts another week. Take care. Be safe. See you then. Bye-bye.